All right. We'll call a meeting to order. I apologize for getting a little bit later start. We did have a major issue come up just this afternoon that I want the committee to weigh in on. You'll recall, you know, the Commerce and Labor Committee oversees gambling, so we do have a free NCAA pool that's taking place. There was, and I noted it's free, so I don't want Channel 9 following me around and so forth. But Representative Zellers, the minority leader, turned in his final brackets at roughly 12:45. They were due at 11 o'clock. And I'm going to leave it this, you know, this the pool is run by this committee. So I'm just curious, is there a sense of what we ought to do with Representative Zellers' entry?
How many losers does he have already?
Actually, he didn't pick any of the upsets, so he's. But he does. He's got Kentucky and Kansas in the final, with Kentucky winning it all. So, Representative Mullery,
how did he? Which did he pick on the games that have already occurred?
All of them wrong so far.
Well, then I think we allow.
All right,
Mr. Chair.
You guys, all right, are we good? Should we, Representative Anderson?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to share with you that I frantically called my husband today to ask him what I should put down, because I have no clue what I'm doing on that piece. And he said, well, Sarah, it's already passed. They've already played the first game. I said, well, that wouldn't have made a difference for me, because I don't know who won.
Mr. Chair,
did
we...
Did he pick Murray State? Representative Canoes?
Mr. Chair, will Representative Zellers, L.A., or our very able committee staff be taking the paper results?
I think the compromise probably ought to be, as long as he pitches in on buying pizza for those folks that all in favor of Representative Zellers pitching in on buying pizza, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Everybody gets to vote, by the way. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
All right. Tell Zellers he's on for half the pizza. The tradition in this committee, by the way, is that we always make a point of, this will be our last hearing before deadlines pass. They are done tomorrow. So what we've done during the period of time that I've chaired this committee, which has only been, I think, 3 years now, fourth year now that we're in, we have always had the freshman members, who are really no longer freshmen, chair the committee at some point. And as just a small token of the chair's appreciation for their service, this year we have Representative Sanders and Representative Murdoch, who've been kind enough to consent to chair this afternoon's meeting. And I will be turning it over to them. I would hope that in the event I get hit by a bus at some point, that whoever chairs this committee next will try to carry on this tradition. I think it's been well received. We have a good sense dating back to Representative Davids, Representative Wilkin, and long before that, of this being a very bipartisan or even nonpartisan committee. And with that, I extend this small token to our freshman members from the minority. We've also done it with Democrats, but this year we've got such a seasoned group on the DFL side that we don't have anybody to take the gavel. With that, though, I will turn it over. I think we're doing it alphabetically. Is that right, Representative Murdoch? So you're up. And where are you moving me? Am I that? Anyway, but I'll turn it over to Representative Murdoch.
Mr. Chairman, I have a series of questions.
I know, about testing?
I'll address that.
First of all, I want to thank Chair Atkins for this this chance to chair this committee and really screw it up. So, with that said, we'll call the meeting to order. Did I hit this now? All righty. Approval of minutes. Representative Sanders, would you approve the minutes?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No. We're not going to make this easier.
I know. Motion prevails. Minutes are approved and adopted. Before we get started, I'd like to ask the members, in order to speed things along, to not ask any questions about testing. So I'd like to take those off the table right now, if we could. And with that, we'll move to House File 3386 and Representative Swales.
Mr. Chair, I'll need either you or someone from the committee to move this, please.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Oh, the chair moves that House File 3386 be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Register.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Many of you who have been here since I've been here, and this began long before I became a representative, there has been a lot of concern about home warranties, and I have carried legislation now. This is my fourth year related to home warranty legislation. Last year, we did have a package of bills that were created and were sent to both bodies. All of those bills were passed by both bodies, but they were vetoed, I think, with the exception of one bill. So this year, in order to move this process along, there was a group that was organized called the Home Warranty Task Force. They started meeting this summer. They had a variety of people serving on that, and out of this task force led by Charlie Durenberger from the Department of Labor and Industry, who I have sitting here next to me, this group came up with a series of recommendations. There has been some controversy around those recommendations, and last week on Thursday, things kind of boiled up. And I met with two attorneys who have done almost exclusive representation of homeowners. And we decided then and there that on Friday we needed to bring all of the stakeholders together. And so Friday morning, I facilitated a meeting that lasted 3 hours. We had the Builders Association and two attorneys representing them who were in attendance, two attorneys representing exclusively homeowners. Mr. Durenberger was there. Representative Obermueller, who is very involved in the task force and also in the drafting of this legislation, and Representative Simon. I conducted the meeting like I would any good classroom where I teach at the high school. We went through the text of the bill section by section, line by line, and we noted the controversy around each of those things. And we hammered out an agreement on every section of the bill. I knew that we were successful because everyone sitting around that table felt, I think, an equal amount of pain. And I think that's the test, that there was some serious concessions made on all sides. So at this point, Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, I would like Mr. Durenberger to be able to explain a little bit more about the process of the task force.
Okay, that'd be fine. Mr. Durenberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Charlie Durenberger from the Department of Labor and Industry. And as Representative Swales indicated, I was asked last fall to put together a group of interested parties to meet regularly to look for ideas on ways that homeowners and builders can resolve disputes over warranty issues without having to incur lots of legal expenses and go through long litigation. It was left to me to kind of figure out who to put on this group. I've been working with the regulation of builders and remodelers for 20 years. I've built up quite a network of contacts in those years. And I put together a group that I thought was very representative among homeowners, builders, insurance companies, and their representatives. We started to meet, and one of the things I'll say is, and I wanted to make clear, is that the composition of the group was mine alone. The decision on who to put on that task force was mine, and I made those decisions. And what I found was I thought I could start with a fairly small group, but every time word got around of who I was inviting, somebody would say, well, if you invite them, then you got to invite these people, and if you invite them, then you got to invite these people. So the original group started out quite large. We ended up with close to 30 people. But through attrition, people started dropping out, and there were a number of people that actually never even showed up for meetings. So by the time we ended our meetings in February, and we met three times in the month of February to try to get agreement on some of these issues before it was too late to put a bill forward, we were down to a core group of maybe 8 or 10 that was, if anything, more heavily weighted towards homeowners. And then a couple of builders, a couple of people from the insurance industry with their input on the impact with insurance issues. And those are really the people that made the decisions to bring forth the recommendations in the report that was issued in February. And as Representative Swales said, there were some issues that came up after we got into a bill form. And I believe that every one of those issues was hammered out. And I'll also say, this is not a perfect solution to this issue, and everybody that's involved in it acknowledges that. And there's still a lot more work that we need to do. The big issue on the homeowner side was attorney's fees. I mean, they made that clear from the very beginning, and we tried to find a solution or a compromise on that issue, and we just weren't able to do that between the parties. But we want to keep working on that, and we also want to clarify issues regarding performance standards for homes, and there are some other issues that come into play as well. That this group will continue to meet, and we are going to expand it now. I've identified people who came forward through this legislative process to express their interest in participating, so we will be including more people, which I think will keep the membership at a decent level, given the people that have kind of dropped out of it. But I think, if anything, the representation of homeowners will be strengthened as we move forward.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Durenberger. Excuse me. Representative Obermueller, your two cents worth?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm just here to support the effort here. But we did have one oral amendment that corrected a typo in the bill, if we could do that. And it's on page 7, line 11. The 327.05 there should actually be 327A.05. And then on 7.12, the word can should be stricken.
And Mr. Pender, could you please repeat that, please, for the members?
Mr. Chair, members, the amendment is on lines and line on page 7, line 11. Delete 327.05 and insert 327A.05, and then on page 7, line 12, delete the word can.
Okay, the chair will move that amendment. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adopted.
Okay. That was the amendment that was adopted?
That was the amendment. Any discussion? Questions from members? Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members and to the testifiers. I first want to say thank you to all three of you for being a constructive part of a real solution here. It's a real step in the right direction. Over the last couple of years, as you know, Representative Swales, you and I and Representative Knuth and others were part of a coalition of members who got together on a number of what we thought were reasonable reforms to give homeowners a little bit more of a voice and a little bit more power in the process. And I think this is definitely a step in the right direction. I was disappointed last year, as I know you were, that a number of those were vetoed by the governor. So what this is today, I think, is the art of the possible and what we know we can get done in the current political environment. I'm glad to hear, Mr. Durenberger, that you're committed to future meetings, at least, to discuss consensus items. But the three of you in particular, I think, deserve a lot of credit for forging a solution that I think both sides can live with. They may not embrace it and love it, neither side may, but something they can live with. And that takes, I think, real skill. So for all three of you, I appreciate that. And Ms. Frenette, who's here, I appreciate that from the builders as well. I know that there were some sacrifices here too. I just have to say, though, for the record, that this is definitely a step in the right direction. In my judgment, there are still other steps that we need to take as a legislature to make sure that homeowners are on an even playing field with others. And I think I know that we can't reach consensus on those this year, and there's no use fighting those old battles, but this is definitely a step in the right direction. And even though there are other things we'd like to do and I think should do, I think the three of you in particular have put in a lot of hours, I know, with others like Ms. Frenette behind the scenes, and I think it's a step in the right direction, so thanks.
Mr. Chair, may I make a comment, please?
Sure may.
If I could go back and make whole all of the homeowners that I have talked to and have seen the photos of their homes, or I've been in their homes to see the destruction of mold intrusion, if I could go back and make those families whole again with legislation, I would certainly try to do that. And I have worked my hardest now. This is the fourth year in a row on doing this. I can't make those families whole again at this moment, but I do feel moving forward that we're making a huge step in a consumer protection bill that's going to mean a lot to families in the future. And it was a real honor to work on this.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And a question for Mr. Durenberger. The bill directs the commissioner to do a number of things. It also directs the commissioner to collect some money from some people. While this is not a fiscal committee, what assurances can you give this committee that the department is in a position to execute the requirements of this bill without a fiscal note?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Dernberger.
Representative Dabney, I believe that there, if there hasn't been a fiscal note prepared, there is one being drafted. It's my understanding that there are two fees that are involved, a $200 fee that will be charged to individuals who seek to be approved to be a neutral by the department, whose names would then be provided to the parties when they seek this process, and then a $50 fee that would be split between the parties when they apply to go through this process. And so it's our understanding that, I mean, and to be honest with you, we really didn't know where to peg those numbers because we really have no way of knowing how many individuals are going to come forward and say, I want to be a neutral, and how many parties are going to come to us and say, we want to go through this process, or we have to go through this process now as a result of this legislation. So we wanted to, the department wanted only to recover the money that it would take us to actually implement this. And we figured the heavy lifting, to the extent there is for us, would be in the process of vetting the individuals who want to be neutrals. That's why we wanted to set that fee at $200. We thought that was reasonable. And because the homeowner is going to have to pay out of their pocket some of the cost of submitting to this process, we wanted to keep that cost as low as possible, and that's why we set that at $25.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Mr. Dernberger, then are you expecting that there'll be any general fund monies needed by the department to administer the provisions in the legislation?
Mr. Chairman. Representative Davy, absolutely not. In fact, our the division that I work for, where this would all be handled, is on a dedicated revenue fund anyway. So I don't know that we get general fund dollars for anything that we do.
Love that, Mr. Chair. Then I thank you, Mr. Dernberger. I just need to reinforce some of Representative Simon's comments. This has been an issue that has been around for a number of years. While there are certainly statewide issues, it is one that has had a particular expression in the East Metro. And so it's a particular credit to both Representative Swales and Representative Obermueller. Sorry, guy. Obermueller, thank you. My apologies. That they have been the ones who stepped up with some assistance from people who are really, really smart, like Representative Simon, and led on this issue and really delivered something that is balanced and works for the industry, but also that I think is very responsive to their constituents and the needs of homeowners in these situations. So good on you all.
Members, any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Anybody in the audience care to testify for or against? Good afternoon, and would you please state your name for the record?
Nancy Emerson. I live in Inver Grove Heights, Minnesota. I have been part of the homeowners group for the past 6 years, and I know that all the hard work that everyone's done, we loosely call ourselves Minnesota Home Watch. We were taken aback a little bit surprised this year because even though four of our homeowners were on the committee, we did not know it was different parts were going to be turned into law. So I really appreciate Representative Swales and other people meeting with our group because we weren't really represented to iron out those things. And I agree, I just wanted to say that we do really appreciate your work. Took us 6 years to get some good bills passed last year and they were promptly vetoed. What can you say? So hopefully, but I do want to really say something about the homeowners. Most of our advocates are homeowners who have gone through the process and they want to make sure it doesn't happen to anybody else. And so the longer that we don't get to the real good nitty-gritty of things, it's going to continue. And I read the bill. I understand that it is balanced, it is give and take, but there really truly needs to be more work done to make the homeowner whole. When a person buys a home, they don't expect in any way, shape, or form to have to go through these kinds of things. And this bill is very balanced, but what it's going to do for the homeowner is going to have to involve, the homeowner is going to have to hire an attorney and other experts very early in the process. I don't think the expectation of a homeowner is that they're going to know to have to go to Dolly to get a new table and all this kind of stuff. So please consider that when you consider this bill, because the whole point was this is the problem that wasn't of their making, and to have to get all these people in there. But I do thank everyone for their work.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else in the audience?
Are you okay?
Yeah. I just have to.
Okay, after I do that. Okay. With that, the chair renews his motion that HF 3386 be recommended to pass. And we have to amend this. We're going to send that to the Committee on Finance as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Motion prevails. I'll get the hang of this yet.
We forgot to ask about the testing.
Okay. Next up, we have HF 20. Oops, excuse me. This one? Three. I thought we were doing thesis. This one. You're screwing me up here. HF 3117, Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. Mr. Chair, members, House File 3117. I just need someone to move the file for me, if you could.
Yes, the chair moves that HF 3117 be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members, this is a bill that would prohibit what's called one-way indemnification clauses. This bill, I think this is the fourth committee now for this bill. What this bill does is prohibit shippers from requiring that the trucking companies indemnify them, even for their own negligence. The shippers, for example, members, might fill up the entire trailer, close it up, the truck driver doesn't know how it's been loaded, where it's been loaded, and what this bill does is prohibit those types of contracts. We've already prohibited them in construction contracts, in building contracts. 17 states have this already. Iowa just passed it. I do have testifiers who could answer questions, Mr. Chair, but there's been no opposition at any stage moving this bill forward.
Okay. Thank you. Have you had any opposition to the bill?
Mr. Chair, there's been no opposition to this bill at any stage moving it forward.
Members have any questions? Anyone from the audience? For or against? With that, the chair renews his motion that HF 3117 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
Motion prevails, I guess. Okay, next up is HF 2699, Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could get someone to move House File 2699.
The chair moves that HF 2699 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the General Register. There's a note here. The engrossment is not entirely correct. Members should make a note on that Section 7, Subdivision 9 of the bill should be deleted. Before you is the current engrossment. This section was deleted in the last committee stop. The engrossment does not reflect that.
Correct.
It's a reviser error.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also have an A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape that I would like it.
Yep. And Chair moves the A1 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? Representative Hillstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was just a technical cleanup. The other amendment that we saw in the other committee inadvertently had something that the Senate did, and we didn't want it on there. So we're taking it off.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With me is Ron Elwood. This came to me from Legal Aid, and I would like him to just talk to you about the bill.
Mr. Elwood.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Ron Elwood with Legal Aid. This bill addresses yet another fallout from the foreclosure crisis. And essentially what this does is to provide notice to homeowners with respect to the results of the foreclosure sale and tell them where they can find out who bought their house and how much it was sold for. Especially it's important today in light of the fact that there are the bids that are coming in at auctions are starting to come in lower than what the folks owe, so they ought to be aware of what the price is to redeem. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Mr. Chair?
Mr. Elwood?
One final thing, members, and Mr. Chair. I just want to let you know that this bill has been shaped and with the great help of the Minnesota Association of Realtors, the Independent Community Bankers Association, and the Real Property Section of the Bar. And I want to thank all three of those for really helping out to get this in a place where everybody's comfortable with it. And as far as I know, the Minnesota Bankers Association has seen it. They have no opposition. And so the Minnesota Credit Union Network. So as far as I know, there's no one opposed.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Elwood. Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The only thing that you're going to hear is there is still some discussion about who should specifically be listed out in terms of entities, and currently the Minnesota Home Ownership Center is the only one listed, and the next testifier will tell you that some additional entities should be listed, and there's going to be some meetings to talk about whether they should or shouldn't.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. And next on the list is Gene Lee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. I'm Jean Lee, President and Executive Director of Children's Hope International R&R Family Centers, and I'm also speaking up for the Asian Pacific American Housing Consortium. Number of consumers, over 210,000 in the Asian community, and others in the ethnic communities that aren't listed. These populations have been targeted as far as needing special help by the Federal Reserve, Fannie Mae, Minnesota Housing, and HUD. I wanted to say, as Representative Hillstrom said, that there still needs to be an amendment. Currently, there are unused resources that have already been paid for by tax dollars, and that includes the three entities who are missing from being named, and that is HUD, who also provides a lot of funding to Minnesota and the Minnesota Housing Agency. NeighborWorks America, who you heard me testify on a different bill, and the Minnesota Mortgage Prevention Association. Each of them have their own different lists of approved agencies and counselors who are untapped resources. NeighborWorks America was created by Congress. On the board sits the governor of the Federal Reserve, who was appointed by Chairman Ben Bernanke, and HUD Assistant Secretary appointed by President Obama. The amendment that we are asking for is towards consumer protection, support of businesses, and economic development. Now, Senator Murphy, in a different committee, had said it's important to fix what's wrong in legislation rather than continually repeating it. So the amendment that we are seeking would also be in compliance with federal law and prevent antitrust violations that could save the taxpayers millions of dollars. The Department of Commerce had been willing to be part of the solution as far as hosting the four on their website, and there was concern, I think, among home ownership that they might be regulated. But at least the other option was to at least include the other three names of the entities along with home ownership where they're named. This also helps towards providing consumers, especially in the Asian community, with culturally and linguistically competent providers and agencies. And as far as my background, I'm also a former corporate auditor, and that's why, you know, I took a hard look at this. I'm a former banker, realtor, and I do legal advocacy. So although he's mention a number of the others who have looked at the bill, I see it also from the eyes of the counselors and agencies. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Lee. Excuse me. Members, any discussion, questions? If not, anybody else from the audience care to testify? If not, the chair removes his motion that House File 2699, as amended, be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Register. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's on the way. Motion
Thank
prevails.
You.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm.
Representative Sanders, can you call in Representative Hoppe occasionally? He was having a little problem.
All right, next on the list is House File 2927, Representative Thiessen. And the chair moves that House File 2927 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is building on some work we've done over the last several years to provide uniform standards for the way payments and claims are processed between doctors' offices and insurance companies, and it's just pulling in an entity that's emerged. It's called a clearinghouse, which is kind of an intermediary, so that they are subject to those same rules, and that's the bill. Now, I did it. So.
Thank you.
Members, any discussion? If not, Chair news this motion that House File 2927 be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair is in doubt. All those opposed? That's what I thought, but all right. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Next on the list is Representative Mariani with House File 2914.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair members.
The chair will move that House File 2914 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And by the way, I've got Kansas and Kentucky in the final with Kansas. Kansas taking it all. So. Members, a couple months ago, I got a call from a constituent whose teenage son, of course, went out and got window tinting done on his car. He subsequently then got a ticket for having an over-tinted window. When she called up, the mom called up the dealer and said, hey, what gives? The dealer said something to the effect of, hey, it's not illegal to install an over-tinted window treatment, but I know it's illegal to drive one. And so obviously we've got a little bit of a hole in our laws. Current law does, in fact, prohibit vehicles to be driven which have windows that have been tinted over a certain degree. What this bill would do is to prohibit the selling or applying to sell windows for vehicles to be driven that are over the degree of tinting prohibited in law. And so it's a neat way to sort of close the loop on that and prevent other unknowing teenage boys out there to commit the same mistake. With that, Mr. Chair and members, that's the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Any other testimony from anyone in the office for or against, in the audience for or against the bill? Members, any questions? With that, the chair news is motion that House File 2914 be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
All right, next on the list is Representative Murphy with House File 3042.
We can't pass everything today. Oh,
good. I think this is the last one. So.
Aye.
No.
The last of the day?
The chair moves House File 3042 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the General Register. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I have an amendment to the A7 that I'd ask someone to move for me, please.
Okay, the chair will move the author's A7 amendment.
And, Mr. Chair, before you vote on that, there is one citation that needs to be changed in line 1.9, and I'm wondering if Mr. Pender could read that for us.
Mr. Pender?
And I could do it if you'd like.
Mr. Chair and members, the change is on the A7 amendment, and on line 1.9 it cites 62Q.78, and the correct citation should be 62Q.735, comma, subdivision 1, comma, parentheses, or a paragraph, parentheses, small c, close parentheses.
Members, any questions?
Mr. Chair, what does that amendment do? To the author.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, we want to make sure that we're referencing the right citation regarding dental organizations. So when we get into a little further description of the bill, there was some discussion between the dentist and the and Delta Dental about their responsibilities inside this proposal, and they reached an agreement that Delta Dental will comply with current law. And this is a reference to current law, and we'd include the wrong citation of current law.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Right. The chair moves the amendment to the amendment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Now we have the A7 as amended. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 3042 is an update on our laws dealing with contracts between providers and the health plans. There's been a lot of work done between the Provider Coalition and the health plans, the Provider Coalition and Delta Dental, and a lot of the work has been done in the Senate, which is, you know, really nice for us. And the result of all of that work is language that has been largely agreed to by everyone, with the exception of one phrase on page 3 that emerged in the Health Committee just 2 days ago, and that phrase is "and abuse." And I want to make sure everybody knows that we are still working. We have a commitment from the health plans, the chiropractors, and the provider coalition to figure out how to define or cite "and abuse" before we come to the floor. So with that, I would like to turn to Mr. Reinman, who can tell you a little bit more about why they brought this legislation forward, and then I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Welcome, Mr. Reinman. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
All right. My name is Jim Reinman, and I represent MMGMA, which is Minnesota Medical Group Management Association. It's a group of essentially 800 members. They're all clinic administrators for both primary care and specialty groups. And we are in full support of this. I do want to point out, we want to thank your leadership in getting us to the table, because the health plans and ourselves have agreed to a lot of the language that's in here, and we want to move forward. I did want to point out the five areas that are in this bill that are important to us. Section 1 is on the contract amendment and renewal provisions. This is important because it no longer is required that a physician group terminate their contract to enter negotiations with a health plan. It also has a section in here that also says once out, not always out. And what that does is slow down any physician group from being out for a 2-year period just because they terminated. So I think the language in here resolves a lot of that issue. The section 2 is on the fee schedules, and on that it is now required that anything that a physician group bills a health plan for, they receive a fee for. I think the health plans actually helped out in resolving this by offering to have a website portal in case any of the fees are needed for any of the groups whenever they're inquiring about fees. So I thought that was a big plus for us. Section 3 goes over reimbursement tiering methodologies. What this is referencing is the products that are out there that tier physician groups in regards to cost and quality. If any of those groups need explanation on why they were tiered to a certain level, whether it be a high, a low tier, that explanation is given to them from the health plan. Section 4 is claims filing, and in this, in the past, there's been differing degrees on how much time period there is to file a claim as well as to settle an appeal. This language dresses it to say whatever we agree to on with a health plan, a physician group agrees with a health plan on, that time period to file the claim, they also have that same time period to go through the appeals process. And this would save a lot of time for both parties in regards to getting that claim finalized. The fifth last piece here is the claims adjustment timeline, and this is capping the amount of time it takes to resolve any of the outstanding claims. It's a 12-month period, and it says as of that 12-month period, after that, after you've had 12 months from the date that you file a claim, it's considered closed, and both parties agree to that settlement. So again, we want to throw our support to this bill. Again, I want to point out, working with the health plans, we've come to this language, and I believe that it's in the benefit for all physician groups.
Thank you, Mr. Ryman. Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Ryman, a question for you, or maybe for Representative Murphy as well. I got kind of dragged into some 62Q issues through a constituent of mine, and I'm not going to mention the name of the health plan or anything, but he was quite disturbed because he was basically kicked out of the network. And so I became acquainted through him with some of the 62Q issues, and I'm not here to offer any sort of amendment. But since we have you here, Mr. Ryman, I was wondering, Section 1 of the bill talks about contract amendment and renewal provisions. Two issues that came up, and I'm just learning about this. I don't serve on the committee like Representative Murphy does, so forgive my basic level of knowledge here. But does your group have any concerns under 62Q that it needs strengthening in terms of, first, how any sort of separation is characterized? Let's say the two part ways, a clinic and a health plan part ways.
Mm-hmm.
About what can be said about that, and I'll tell you the background. With my constituent, he claims at least that when his patients would call up saying, you know, what gives? We're out of network now, that essentially he claims that his business was defamed. My words, not his, but that there was some misinformation about what his own patients were told about the reason for the separation. Is that an area under 62Q that you think needs some more reform, or is that pretty well taken care of under current law?
Yep. That Section 1 actually does address that. If we're thinking about the same group, they also came to our association and they wanted this language in there. With that group, they ran into a situation where while they were trying to negotiate the termination date, they ended up at the very end of it finding out that once they were out for a two-year period. And so it really, they said, you know, that's a lot of intimidation to have on one side. And so that they felt that by having language like this, they can at least go through the termination process, and let's say the last date is December 31st. On January 1st, they can continue trying to work with the health plan and get back in. And that's what Section 1 addressed in that. So, again, if we're thinking of the same group, but they did approach me and talk to me over the phone on this.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just one other question about 62Q. So another issue that my constituent raised with me is, at least his characterization was that when he asked why his clinic was being kicked out of the network, no one would tell him. And furthermore, they said, well, according to our contract, we don't have to tell you the reasons. It can be for any reason or no reason at all. You're out. Mm-hmm. He said, well, can't we sit down and talk about this? Is there something I or we should be doing? Is there some practice that you objected to? Is there something I said or didn't say? And they said, we're not going to talk to you.
Right.
So as someone who, you know, is listening to a constituent tell me, that certainly seemed unfair if what he's saying, if the way that he's representing it is true, and I don't know whether it is or isn't, but if it is, that certainly sounds unfair to me. Can you tell me whether you think current law, 62Q or otherwise, needs to be changed in that respect so that practice groups have a little bit more bargaining power? Or do you think current law covers it?
I don't think current law covers it. I do think that is something that we need to tighten up, and a couple other areas that I discussed over the phone with them. Again, this isn't to cure all ills on this, and hopefully future legislation we can address that.
Okay.
Again, there's two sides to the story. The health plan, I did talk to the attorney on the health plan why they were going through this process, and I do believe he could have used more representation to address this issue, but I think long-term the health plan did hear what his frustration was on this, and I have faith that they're going to change the practice and policy that they have in place right now.
Any other questions? Anyone from the audience that wishes to testify? If not, Chair renews his motion that House File 3042, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the General Register. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
With that, I'd like to thank Representative Atkins for the opportunity to do this. Thank you very much. Do you have anything to say in closing?
Well, yes, I do. About a half an hour's worth of comments. I just hope that I'll be allowed back as chair after seeing Representative Murdoch and Representative Sanders do such a fine job. This obviously is the last meeting that we have before deadline. My guess is that there may yet be another hearing with some variety of issues that might come post-deadline. But otherwise, I hope not to see you all for a couple of weeks other than on the floor. And good luck to you in the poll, and thanks for your service on the Commerce and Labor Committee. Finally, most importantly, our staff folks, we don't have Mr. McCormick and Anita here, but Mr. Pender's saving our lives time and time again. And to our pages, where'd both guys go? You're tough to miss, by the way. I shouldn't have. But
I think they're delivering notes.
Everybody that sticks around for a few minutes after committee knows that those fellas are here long after we leave, and we deeply appreciate their efforts, as well as John and Chris, who make the chair's job a heck of a lot easier than it should be. So my thanks to all those folks, and thanks to everybody for your service on the committee.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. Thank you all. We're adjourned.